Hey, fellow traveler. Welcome to the Third Eye Awakening podcast, a show where we talk all about spiritual and psychic awakening, magic, the shift from 3D to 5D, starseeds, ascension, multiple timelines, multiple dimensions, the universe, the multiverse, the Akashic records, all the good things. I am your host, Amy Blair, and I'm so glad to have you here with me today. Okay, let's do this. Hi, my friends. Welcome to another episode of Third Eye Awakening. Today, I have for you an awesome conversation with Rachel White, who is a fellow Akashic Records reader, as well as a hypnotherapist. She does life between lives regressions, all kinds of very interesting things to help people move through their trauma, move through their current blocks, and just navigate their spiritual awakening and come into a greater state of their power and their peace and their wholeness. She came to me by way of Brandon Thomas, host of Expanding Realities podcast, and Ben Carroll, the amazing, beautiful soul who does the incredible vocal and singing bowl journeys. Ben was on my podcast. Brandon's been on my podcast a couple times. Ben's been on my podcast once. He definitely has to come back. So if you don't know Ben Carroll or Brandon, you should go back into the history of my podcast and check it out and find them on Instagram. And Rachel is one of their people. So, and it was just a beautiful conversation. I feel like it was the first of many. There are so many things that we could go into, but of course you kind of have to have an introductory conversation sometimes, you know, just like lay the foundation. Anyways, it was great. You'll love it. Before we get into it, I just want to remind you that my manifestation bootcamp is starting on September 23rd. That is a Saturday. That is the autumn equinox, I believe. Some calendars of mine say it's the 22nd. Some calendars say it's the 23rd. We're going with the 23rd. And I'm inviting you to join me for 90 fucking days of inspiration, motivation, tips, tricks, hacks, all the things. Basically, the way that this bootcamp is going to look is I've created a private community where we can all get together and you can participate as much or as little as you want. And every single day, I'm going to drop some kind of riff on the topic of manifestation as I contemplate it myself along my own journey. And I just, you know, I'm daily having these realizations anyway. So I thought, why not create a bootcamp where I can actually share these realizations and these ponderings and musings and, you know, the new tips that I learn and the techniques that I have been using, whatever, purely for the purposes of motivation and accountability and keeping your head in the game. I'm not trying to gatekeep how manifestation happens. I feel like I've talked about it so many times on my podcast. Like I've just given you all of the, like, this is how it actually works. This is how it goes. And anyway, you can find it in abundance on YouTube, and I'm sure on podcasts and whatever. I don't know. I find it on YouTube. But, you know, so like basically what you're paying for if you were to join this manifestation bootcamp, you're paying to hear me talk about it through my lens, which I feel is very unique. There are things that I bring through that I've never heard anybody else talk about. And there are things that I bring through that other people do talk about. But, you know, if you like my rambling style, if you feel activated, inspired when you listen to me talk, then you will love this bootcamp. And it's just to keep you on track for 90 days. Because if you do it every day for 90 days, first of all, your manifestation is at least going to be on its way in by the end of the 90 days, if not all the way in. Second of all, you all have set up a new sort of a new baseline reality for yourself, a new baseline way of thinking and perceiving reality so that it's easy to keep it going in the future for yourself forever. Like it's just basically, you know, they say it takes 21 days of repeating something in order for it to become a habit. Well, try 90 days. Like it just becomes an integrated part of who you are. And that's really what I want for all of you who feel called to join me. I think we have 14 people now. I just counted it last night. 14, maybe 15. I think one person joined overnight. 15 people in the manifestation bootcamp, which is super exciting. That's 15 people who are going to manifest their shit. They are going to timeline shift and start creating an intentional and conscious, beautiful reality for themselves and for their loved ones. So yeah, I'm inviting you to join. Okay, I'm getting a little ahead of myself. So it's going to be every single day, there's going to be a content drop. Every single day, I'm going to share with you something. It's not pre-planned. It's literally going to be a spontaneous, like, this is what I'm thinking about manifestation today. Sometimes it's going to be encouragement and reminding you that this is not a laborious task. This is not something that you have to be like sweating bullets to do every single day. This is fun and it's easy and it's light, but it feels kind of foreign when you're first doing it, just the same way that every new habit feels foreign before it's a habit. And it's also going to be encouragement on those days where you just feel like, oh God, I just didn't have the time. I barely showed up for it. I barely did it. I just want to, you know, on those days show up and remind you that it doesn't matter if you barely did it. The point is you did it. And it all adds up. It all adds up. And there's going to be bi-weekly Q&A calls. So we're just going to get together as a group and, you know, you can basically come and bring me your questions, bring me your manifestations, whatever's going on, and get essentially what it is like get individual, I guess you could call it coaching. I don't know. I never like the word coach for myself. It doesn't feel quite right. But in this instance, it does kind of feel right because it would be like, you know, me just listening to what you're saying, looking at it from a removed perspective and being able to let you know, this is what you need to adjust. This is what you need to tweak. This is what you're doing really good at. This is where you're kind of, you know, coming from like an unintegrated blind spot. And also, I'm trying to think of the last piece. I don't have any notes. This is just a off the cuff intro. And also it is going to include a video tutorial on exactly how to manifest and exactly how to timeline shift. So all in all, it's like a super juicy, like one of the most involved courses, I guess you could call it. I don't know. It's a boot camp, but you know what I mean? One of the most involved things that I have ever created and enrolled people in, because it's going to be 90 straight days of content. On those 90 days, you just get to listen to the content very similarly to as you would with a podcast, meaning on your own time whenever you have the chance. Some of it will be audio, some of it will be video. You know, it'll just be what it is on that day. So you don't have to be present for a live something or other every single day. The Q&As will be live, but you also can just watch the replays if you want. There's no stress about what time things are and if you're going to be able to make it and all that kind of stuff. You will still get so much value out of it. As I've said before, I think, I'm pretty sure, when I was talking about Into the Akasha, but like a lot of the times when I join live programs, I don't even show up to a single one of the live calls. Just because I don't, like, it's not feasible for me. I have so many different, like, I'm doing podcast interviews, I'm doing Akashic readings, I'm hosting courses, doing live calls of my own, and then I have children. As soon as I'm done, boom, I got to go downstairs and take care of my kids, go pick them up from school and make dinner. I don't have the time to attend live calls, and I get so much out of the programs that I join. So that should never be a barrier for anybody if it really calls to you. Let me see. What else do I want to say about this? Oh, yeah. I think I was talking last week about how it took me about 5 weeks of working on my manifestation every day, or just, I like to call it showing up for my manifestation, because it honestly didn't feel like work at all. It just felt like 5 weeks of every day tuning in to my highest timeline and the specific aspects of it that I wanted to manifest. 5 weeks of that before I started seeing the early preliminary signs. But guess what? This past week, I think it was on Monday, out of nowhere, one of the big pieces of my manifestation popped through. So basically, I am doing an entire timeline shift. I'm not manifesting any one thing. I am choosing a different timeline, which has many different aspects. So, you know, like I'm manifesting in the area of home, I'm manifesting in the area of money, I'm manifesting in the area of relationship, I'm manifesting in the area of friendship. You know, like there are different things that I want, and all of those exist on one timeline. So what I'm doing is I'm moving into that timeline. But pieces of that timeline are coming through already, and that's what I'm referring to as manifestation. So a big piece of my timeline just popped in out of nowhere on Monday. I mean, literally nowhere. I was just doing my thing, you know, juicing up my manifestations, juicing up my timeline, not worrying about it not already being here, not being like, when's it coming? Why isn't it here yet? Like, I just wasn't worrying about that. I was taking care of my kids. My husband was away on a work thing for the weekend. I was just hanging with them and cleaning the house, which was the best. I love cleaning, and I so rarely get the time to do it. Doing some deep cleaning and just really having a nice chill weekend and being in a really good mood and daydreaming about pieces of my timeline in the background, pieces that don't even feel like they make sense, by the way. Like, I don't know how this piece of my timeline fits into reality, but it doesn't matter. I was just daydreaming about it, not worrying about anything. And then on Monday, bam, a huge, huge piece of my manifestation came in that I wasn't expecting. It felt like it came out of nowhere. So that was September 11th that piece of my manifestation came in. And I have been working on my manifestation. Like, I kind of declared it and started the process on July 2nd. So all that is to just point out that literally, like, that's about 2 weeks. Or sorry. That's about 8 weeks of working on my manifestation before a huge piece came in, like a really, really big piece that I honestly thought was going to take at least six more months, if not a year or years, to come in. Like, that's how my 3D brain was thinking about it. My 3D brain was thinking, this is going to take forever. But no, that's not how it works with manifestation. You just don't worry about that 3D brain. You don't worry about that linear sequence of how you think things need to unfold. You just manifest and boom, it comes in seemingly out of nowhere. So 90 days is fucking plenty to get your manifestations happening and coming into your world. And it also leaves a beautiful cushion of time for you to troubleshoot if you are kind of like really inherently feeling like something is going wrong, or you like you have a lot of blocks. For example, one of the blocks that I've been thinking about, and I might make a reel about it or something like that, I don't know, but I just want to acknowledge that it can be really hard for people to manifest if they have had trauma around being let down and disappointed by adults they really care about in their lives. So if you feel like somebody, you know, serially let you down and broke promises when you were little, or said we were going to do this and then they never did it, and your hopes constantly were lifted up only to be totally dashed, and you were young enough that you didn't really know how to deal with it, so you just had to live with this awful feeling of disappointment, I imagine that makes it really challenging to manifest. I know that there are some areas where I've had that experience in my life, and I can see the way that it influences my ability to manifest. And so 90 days is like plenty of time to identify those things and just work through them so that it's no longer slowing you down. So manifestation bootcamp, 90 days, starting September 23rd, carrying us all the way through until I think it's December 21st, the winter solstice. And we're just going to get your life onto a whole new timeline of magic and amazingness. And not only that, but you're going to come out on the other side literally knowing how you did it, so that you're never like, whoa, how did that happen? But you just know how to move through life. You know that whenever you want something, you can have it. And you know the process of how to get on with it. Okay, that's it. I'm done rambling. I invite you to join me. Link is in the show notes. Link is in my Instagram bio. Link is on my website. All the places. I love you. I hope you enjoy this episode with Rachel White. And I will catch you on the other side. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Third Eye Awakening. Today, I'm really honored to have Rachel Horton White here as my guest. She is a clinical hypnotherapist, a mindfulness teacher, and intuitive guide who has helped transform the lives of clients worldwide in this massive planetary shift in consciousness through soulful work, intuitive consulting. Rachel helps people release negative patterns in their lives with practical tools like mindfulness, energy, and intuition exercises to connect with their true inner selves. She has led sold-out women's retreats, written for multiple online publications, and presented at national hypnotherapy conferences. Rachel facilitates groups of awakening souls and spiritual entrepreneurs and has a meditation podcast called The Courageous Path. Her new book is a spiritual toolkit called Tools for the Awakening Soul, a guide to activate your intuition and uncover your life's purpose. She lives on a homestead in mid-coast Maine, where she and her husband homeschool their two bright, energetic children. You can find Rachel and pick up a copy of her book and download free meditations along with her writing tools at www.soulfulworkconsulting.com, which is linked in the show notes, as well as her socials and all the things, all the ways that you would want to follow her, her podcast, all the stuff. I know that this conversation is going to be amazing because I was introduced to Rachel, I think through Ben Carroll.
Yes.
I think about a year ago, and we've crossed paths in little ways since then. Like, we were both on Brandon's show for something. It was a panel show, but I just know that bio is kind of like semi-corporate world speak, like nutshell, trying to fit you into, like, you know, like trying to translate it into layman's terms more or less. But I'm just like, I know that there's way more there.
Yeah, that was the back cover of my book, I think, or like the inside cover of the book. Yes,
it
there's
doesn't
more.
Even talk about the, like, that you do the Life Between Lives hypnotherapy.
Right.
And
yeah, I didn't do it at the time.
So
I'm gonna add
that.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's going to be an amazing conversation.
Yes,
and I think
I can't wait.
We're here to do very similar things. Working in similar modalities and helping people to come to the same sort of realizations about themselves. I imagine we're probably from a similar dimension with similar soul mission instructions, things like that.
I'm sure. Yeah. I'm so glad to be talking with you. I love what you do. And it's just, I'm excited. I was looking forward to this for a while. So thank you again.
Yeah. Me too. Well, thank you for being here. And I'd love to hear kind of more about how your journey has unfolded, because, you know, did you always knew that you had a mission? Did you always have an idea of what it was? What was your awakening process like?
I definitely did not know I had a mission always, but I wasn't awake. I think I was gradually awakening for most of my life, but I went through this sort of like massive awakening in 2015, somewhat massive, but I was always intuitive. I would always have dreams that would come true and know things. Like, I knew my mother was pregnant when I was 15 and she was having my brother, I'm the oldest of four, but I knew she was pregnant before she told anybody. And then there were different times where deceased people that my family knew would come to me in dreams and tell me messages to tell to, like, my mother in particular, happened a few times. I knew there was always interesting, there was something going on, and I was interested in ESP, and I did a report on it in fourth grade, and you know, so, but it just was this kind of weird thing. And my mother is very intuitive as well, but she doesn't talk about it, doesn't really, she was a little scared by it. So that's what I was taught. So I had to clear some of that. But really, you know, my path was pretty traditional. I went to college, I went into the nonprofit field and worked for social services and got very burnt out of that and didn't really know what else to do with my life for a job. At that time, I had met my husband, which that's a whole nother, the relationship thing is a whole nother path, but I cleared some negative relationship patterns, basically manifested my husband, like focused on what I wanted. Had my son, who's now 11. And then I was pregnant with my daughter, who came in like immediately. She's a very high vibration little being. And I know, and I was told this in a reading years ago, that she came in to get me back, to get me on my path. Like, you need to start doing your work, like do it. So, and she was born in April, 2015. And I started like waking up around like November, December, 2015. But what happened was I was just miserable in my job. I would grind my teeth at night. I was so crying all the time, so angry, stressed. I was a job hopper, always going in and out of different jobs for, you know, 2 years somewhere else. Anyway, And I hired a life coach at the recommendation of our old babysitter. And I didn't even know what that was, but I heard good things. And so she was kind of spiritual. And she said, you know, start meditating again and start talking to something higher than yourself. And at that time, I had been interested in tarot cards. And I started taking a class and I would kind of taught myself, read some tarot books, but it was just something I kept on the side. So I started meditating and the phrase Akashic Records came to me one day in meditation and I had no idea what it was. And then after that, the phrase Knights Templar also came to me. I also had no idea what that was, but I was like, I know this is important. So I wrote them down. And then around that time, also my life coach at the time was encouraging me to interview people for this podcast, which I don't interview people anymore. I just put meditations on it, but I interviewed my grandfather who was in the CIA. So there's another piece to my story, which is both my grandfathers were in the CIA and that's how my parents met, because they were interns. But one of them, my mom's father, Ralph McGeehee, became a whistleblower for the CIA and wrote a book called Deadly Deceits. And it was, and he's like a hero for me. He transitioned in 2020, but he comes to me as a guide. But I knew this about him, and I knew that he was telling about the lie talk. He was in the CIA during Vietnam, and he saw what they were doing and lying as they do, you know, in the media, saying that the people want this war when they actually didn't. And he was sending back reports saying what was going on. And they'd say, no, you can't say that. You have to change your reports. And he said, I'm not doing that. That's lying. And he was this like all-star football player, like this, you know, Notre Dame superstar. They thought he was just this dumb jock that would just not question what he was told, just do, you know, toe the line. Anyway, so they demoted him, made his life miserable. He ended up staying for the CIA. He eventually retired, but they followed him and they tried to make it sound like he was crazy and all this stuff, you know, which they do. Anyway, but he did write the book and get it out. And if anybody wants to check it out, it's called Deadly Deceits, Ralph McGeehee. Anyway, but in the process of researching his life, because I was trying to get some information on him on the internet, and it's out there, I started coming across stuff and different things about, you know, disclosure, truth about the lies of, you know, different, all the systems in control. And I remember around that time, so something was being activated. Around that time, I went downstairs and I used to listen to NPR. I don't know why, but I would listen to the news, you know, I'd read the news, but I turned on the radio. And as soon as I turned it on, this voice in my head said, it's not real. And that's when like a switch went off. And then I started going down the rabbit hole, researching all the different things, you know, all the quote conspiracy theory stuff. Came back out a little bit, of course, during COVID, I saw exactly what was going on, you know, the whole time, but that's a whole other thing. So anyway, my path, that was basically my path of awakening. And around that time, I the Akashic Records phrase came in and I had no idea what that was. I looked it up. I got a reading from somebody. And I was like, this is amazing. So I now read the Akashic Records more than anything else I do for people. And it's just been such a source of wisdom and guidance. And, you know, what the heck is going on right now? I go on the Akashic Records and try to get some information. So it's been a gradual path. I think that's around that time I started this business. That was in 2016. And I kind of kept expanding what I was doing, you know, I thought I was going to be doing workshops for workplaces, which is why the name of my business is what it is, which I'll probably change at some point. But I was guided to way more deeper stuff than that. You know, went back to school, learned hypnotherapy, learned the Akashic Records. Recently, I've been doing a lot more with life between life regressions, past life regressions, which I find absolutely fascinating. Anyway, so I just, you know, do a lot of that, you know, very deep work with people, inner child stuff and the Akashic Records. Anyway, so it's just been a really amazing journey of uncovering myself and healing within myself and my family, and just trying to share light and help people as they awaken, as they, you know, step into their own light as you do. And it's just been a really cool process. And I ended up writing a book it was last year. So it's been that was a big deal to do. And I had to do a lot of past life clearing to do that, but just feel very blessed to be able to do this and be of service in some way.
Yeah, you're doing amazing work. And I like that you added that little bit, like, to in order to write a book, a lot of past life clearing had to happen. Those are the pieces nobody sees, right? Like, we kind of know that it's a lot of work to write a book. It's a lot. Like, writing is a slow process. It can come out super fast, but the whole process of writing and editing, like making a book, it's a process, that's for sure. But there's also all those pieces of, yeah, all the Akashic work, everything that it brings up to basically commit your, I don't know, what comes up for me is that I'm just like feeling into the sort of, I guess it's like maybe a crown chakra, third eye chakra wound, throat chakra, those upper ones, of committing your beliefs to paper where it's recorded. Yes. And then distributed widely. Absolutely. And there's a record with your name on it and past lives of that being a highly, highly persecuted offense, and definitely not persecuted lightly or with a delicate touch. Yeah, a lot of people paid very high prices for broadcasting their views. So
yes, I have picked up on that myself, being drowned, being buried alive. Yeah, it was a deep fear of being, yeah. And honestly, that fear did, well, how do I say this? It didn't play out in this life, but vibrationally, I have a very different friend group than I used to, very different, yes. You know, just everything's different. And there's some grieving there, right? As you know, but that I now understand that, you know, I'm safe. I'm not going to be killed this time. I hope. Don't think so.
Right.
And just that's the vibrational, you know, realignments that are just happening right now.
Yeah.
It's okay.
It is okay. It's intense, but that's exactly it. It's okay. But it feels very intense. I remember it wasn't really around starting the podcast per se, because you can just create a podcast and just put it out there. And like, your face isn't even like, I don't do video, you know? So that one was okay. But showing up on Facebook Lives brought up a level of fear, like a big part of me felt like I was going to die if I did it. The amount of fear and resistance was just crazy. So yeah, it's a lot. We're healing a lot. It's intense,
yes,
to heal it, but it's also okay.
It is.
To get cleaned up.
Well, good for you. And I mean, some people, I think it's nice. What did you say? That there's a lot of things that go in behind the scenes to some of this. You know, I teach people, it's called this intuitive guide program, to start their own businesses. And I will say to them, what you see now is 8 years in the making, like eight yeah. years of failure and revising and almost stopping and almost giving up and running out of money. And like, just, it takes time. And all of this, I had to dig really deep into clearing my own, you know, childhood, just limiting beliefs. We all have it from our parents and then past lives, and just all the doubt that comes up and the fear and all that stuff. It takes time and it can be done, but it is definitely a process.
Mm-hmm. It is totally a process. And it is like, it's not a magic ticket, right? Like, I think that we're super programmed to be very entitled. And there's like the entitlement program, and then there's also the instant gratification program that has come with this age of, you know, instant information exchange. And so sometimes we can forget that things are a process and there's no way around that. And nor would we really want to bypass that, because the process is where all of the transformation occurs. And that's really what I think all of us crave. Like, we think we want the final results so we can finally feel safe or finally feel whatever. But actually what we want is, you know, it's so cheesy. Ultimately, I'm saying it's the fucking journey, not the destination. But it's true. We want all of that transformation on the way there, so that when we get there, we have this incredible satisfaction of like, I did this. Like, I showed up for it. I shifted. I kept going even in those millions of times I wanted to quit. Mm-hmm. And here I am now, and I get to feel really proud of it and really own it, rather than having it just miraculously appear instantaneously because we thought we wanted it for a minute.
Right. And I think this speaks to the ego too, because the ego can easily get wrapped up in good ways and bad ways, you know, like just wanting to be wanting acknowledgement or validation, or, you know, so it's not just money or, you know, fame or power, but I think for me, I noticed my ego was craving some sort of validation. Like, I'm not really crazy. See, I wrote a book. I'm not crazy because, right. because I did this thing, you know, because I've was asked that, you know, are you sure you're mentally okay with some of the things I think about or talk about? And now I've learned, I always say to my husband, I know I'm not crazy because I have a filter and I know what to say to who and what not to say to other people. But I think this is, I guess I wasn't even going to bring this up, but I'll just briefly brush over it because I just was thinking about it a few days ago. It's in the world of, you know, spiritual teachers, whatever you call, you know, people like us that are doing this sort of work, trying to be of service, trying to share light. There's the whole like guru thing and the whole, I've seen some spiritual teachers that end up creating a following. And this is what I came across too, in particular, that can, their egos can come into it and it can almost feel like cult-like or like the guru thing. And yes. I don't know why I'm bringing that up now, maybe because I just was sent something by these people that worked for these former employees of these people that made a documentary trying to expose them. Anyway, and I think that's really what we're all doing as we move into 5D consciousness is every single one of us, no matter who we are, you know, whether you're like Tony Robbins or Eckhart Tolle or whoever, somebody like really well known, or you're the homeless person living in the street, like we're all working on shedding our egos in some level and we're integrating, I guess, the ego and the higher self. And not being guided by those sort of lower self desires to be or to have validation, get it externally from other people, or to, you know, feed whatever need that is within us from our inner child or from whatever like wounded part there is that has a desire to be healed, but from a place that isn't, you know, an internal place. I don't really know where I'm going with this, but I've noticed it in myself and I've noticed it just recently with these spiritual teachers I just mentioned, that's what's coming up for so many people right now is these old patterns. You think you've worked through this stuff. Well, no, you haven't yet, because now it's going to come up again. Summer was intense for a lot of people, including myself, like just really intense energy, right? Like I was like, man, I'm pretty good at coping, but if I'm having a hard time, then I can't imagine mm-hmm. how other people are. Because it's the energies, like you have to see all the shit. You have to see it right in front of your face to then be able to clear it. But it's so much of it is about just clearing away that false self, that ego self. Anyway, it's just very interesting.
Totally. It totally is about that. It is like you can't clear what you can't see. And because it's yours. So you have to own it. Like there's a piece of it that you have to own, right? There's like something that hasn't completed the processing process. That, you know, now we have to see it to be like, oh, this is what needs to get worked through. But yeah, my summer was super intense. I love summer. I'm such a summer girl. And I feel like I just cried all summer long, honestly. And I'm also not somebody that cries a whole lot. Just like, how do I put it? If something happens, like I'm not emotionally congested. If something happens in the moment, and tears come up, like I'll cry, but I'm not somebody that cries a lot over something that's not immediately happening right now, like something from the past or whatever. And that was really like, I just was crying over everything all summer. And I was seeing patterns come up that I'm like, I swear to God, I cleared these. Like, what is happening? Why is this back? I've put in so much work, but I could just feel like there's a deeper layer of grime. I don't know what to say. Mm-hmm. You got to bust out like a different vibration to get through these, you know, these pieces. It's like a calcification layer on the edge of your container. You know, that's what it feels like. These crusty films.
Yes. I'm thinking about the book I was telling you I was reading that. Okay. So the book I was reading is by Bill Frisell, which I've never heard of this book. And I wonder if anybody even listening has ever heard of this book. Now I'm going to get the title wrong. It's like everything, nothing this book is true, but everything is as it is or something like that. It was written back in like the early 90s. Maybe it was a long time ago, at least 20 or 30 years ago. but it's based on the work of John Below Melchizedek, who wrote The Ancient Secret of the Flower of Life. Anyway, and it talks about the truth about humanity and the origins of humanity on the planet and being millions of years old, and that we're hybrids from these different extraterrestrial races. And then it talks about Lemuria and these masters on Lemuria who were initiated in this mystery school, which I think eventually became the Essenes. I'm just going to dive right in.
Yeah.
Which eventually became the Essenes, which, you know, Mary and her mother and then Jesus were all, you know, I believe at least trained in. Anyway, and that these masters knew on Lemuria that, and Lemuria was very intuitive, as you know, very feminine based civilization. They knew that it was going to basically sink, and they created, I don't know if you've ever heard this. I'd be curious if you heard this, Amy, about that they created these energy vortexes based on the Tree of Life, 10 of them specifically on Atlantis that wasn't ready, you know, wasn't active yet. And so it just drew the people of Lemuria to these energy vortexes in Atlantis. But there were two energy vortexes that were left open that were not filled for whatever reason. And that created a void, that created a, not in a good way. And he says in this book, I don't know if this all resonates with me, this part I'm not totally sure about. The Hebrews were one, and they had lots of advanced technology and they were very helpful. Okay, good. But the other, they were from Mars and they were, you know, lacking emotion, not connected to their hearts, just eventually became the Greys. And then there's probably others that are connected, but they were responsible for bringing in, you know, the fall of Atlantis, bringing in ego, bringing in that disconnection from the heart. And then of course, Atlantis fell, and that's when we began this new 26,000 year cycle of, you know, being asleep and all that stuff, which we're coming out of right now. But what he says in the book, and all of this, just like you and I were talking about it, like puts together the pieces of things that I've picked up on, read about. And I'm just like, yes, this feels right. You know, maybe it's 80-20 rule, 80% truth, 20% not, who knows. But he's saying that there's the Christed grid, the Christ consciousness grid was built during that time based on the pyramids, you know, the Sphinx and the different Egypt and all the ley lines. And then these sacred sites all over the world anchored this grid. I actually just went to Glastonbury tour and to Stonehenge just last month, which was crazy. And I think I went there because it's so interesting because I think I received some sort of activation. Then I was given this book. Now I'm talking to you about it. It's fascinating. So anyway, but this grid was built to bring in love and to anchor in love and the concept of oneness and unity consciousness. And that was how it was before. And this is what he's saying in this book, is that before these intervening extraterrestrial consciousnesses came in and created duality and created the separation, us versus them, which we're still experiencing. We're coming out of, but we're still experiencing that. Anyway, so I think that brings me back to what we were just talking about, that when it comes to ego and it comes to separation of like these spiritual teachers I was talking about, I was horrified to hear that they were telling people that were followers that they didn't know as much of them. Like, we know more than you. You're not equal to us. They were basically saying, you're not equal. We're the special ones. Yes, everybody has different gifts. Yeah, that's totally true. You know, I'm not a musician. My husband is. That's his gift. I'm not an astronaut. Somebody else is. Like, but I have other gifts that somebody else doesn't. So, you know, but to say that to somebody perpetuates that separation, when ultimately, you know, we want to come in to like, we're all one, we're all connected, and that, you know, that's the 5D way. And anyway, so I think that is what is happening now. That's what we're all being asked to do, is to bring, like, come into that sort of intuitive right brain side of not even understanding how to put words to what's going on. This summer, when I was going through this intense time, I couldn't even talk about it. And when I went to Stonehenge, mm-hmm. I didn't even have words to describe what I was feeling. I just said, I just am feeling something, and I can't even tell you what I'm feeling. I'm just feeling it. And I'm not meant to tell you what I'm feeling. And that, I think, is where we're going, is like this sort of heart-centered, feelings-based way of intuitively being and clearing all this stuff. Anyway, it's just a really amazing time to be alive. And, you know, when we go through these intense periods, we don't always know why we're going through them, but we can look back and say, oh, I see now what that was about and why I had to go through that and why I had to see that so I could clear the shadows to make space for this light, so I can be a vessel, so I can anchor in that light of, you know, the Christed light of unconditional love on the planet, like you're doing, like I'm doing, like probably a lot of people listening are doing, just anchoring in all over the place. So we can bring the planet back into that oneness.
Mm-hmm, totally. And when you were talking about like that period during the summer of just feeling something, but feeling it so deeply that there just aren't even words for yourself to rationalize it to yourself, I keep getting this message that we're supposed to reactivate the telepathic networks and like get offline, but it's not a fear-based thing like doom if you stay online or a Carrington event is coming. It's more like we don't need these training wheels anymore. We just think we do. But actually, communicating through words is super inefficient. It's not ever the way it was supposed to be as our primary means of communication anyway. And there's a much more direct way of communicating, which is telepathically through the third eye, through the heart, and through the sacral. And when you can communicate that way, you don't need words, which is kind of, it's a lot of the way animals do it, but they, you know, they just have a different consciousness. So it's not like we're reverting to animal consciousness or anything like that, but words, it's so hard to take something that is formless, but is true. Like you can feel it, you can have a relationship with it, but it defies any kind of description. And then to fit it into words, to pass it on to somebody else, to try and connect with them, that only maintains more of a sense of separation. Like we feel so alone in our experience, but really we can just communicate through these other chakra portals that we have and just feel each other. And then we don't need the words, and we can transmit the pictures that go along with it to each other. And we don't need the words. And then we realize, oh, we're actually not alone at all. We're interconnected 100% of the time with these amazing webs of energy where we've been convinced out of it. Do you know what I mean? Like a lot of the work that I'm doing this year is I'm going through all the chakras, the seven main chakras. I'm almost done the crown. I'm like, I can't wait. And then I move on to the transpersonal ones and clearing them out, activating them, and just like addressing whatever bits and pieces of information want to come through about the chakras. And what I see is like, each and every one of them has been hijacked. We've been so scrambled. So our third eye, as we all know, or most of us know, I'm assuming, you know, it's been really atrophied and calcified and enclosed. We have a lot of trauma around the third eye, similar to the trauma that we were talking about with writing a book. Like that's more of a throat chakra trauma, but they're related because it's like, I see things and I am persecuted for seeing, you know, with something other than my physical eyes. And so we have a lot of trauma there. We have trauma around our solar plexus. We have our hearts kind of encased behind this tarry layer of accumulated pain that we never want to confront or deal with. And then we have these like, they're almost like Faraday cubes around the heart. We've built these heart walls to protect ourselves because it's so painful to be alive. And it makes it very challenging for us to communicate and function optimally on all levels. But it's like we're limping along, we're hobbled, and we don't realize. We think this is the way that we're supposed to be, and that we just like, you know, this limping gait is our actual gait. But really, there are corrections that can happen in our various like body levels, and then we can function the way that we're supposed to. And I think that's the direction that we're moving, and each of us carries like a little piece of the activation to put us back on our, yeah, I don't know, our correct path, you could call it.
It's really, really beautiful. And it's not easy. I mean, this stuff, it's not easy to do this inner work. I've been working with a sad, you know, just a heartbreakingly large number of people that have had such intense sexual trauma in particular. And it's so painful to hear, you know, what they've been through. I know somebody who even took her own life just last month. And that's and that's, you know, when you're choosing to exit your life, it's, you know, the pain, it became almost intolerable for her, I think. But and it is intense right now. And that's where, for me, calling upon my sources of guidance, you know, just surrendering to light, to whatever it is what helps me get through those experiences, like you said, that we don't have words for, that we don't even have words for how we're feeling sometimes. We just feel like crap, or we just feel stuck, or we feel paralyzed, angry. You know, there's a lot of things that we have right to be angry about, but we want to transmute that. And it's interesting, is as you were talking about how we're meant to communicate, you know, we weren't meant to communicate with words. I was thinking, well, that's how extraterrestrials communicate, like how a lot of, you know, multidimensional beings, which I like to call them, communicate, is through vibrations, through sound, through just feelings, which is, I think, how we did communicate when we were on Lemuria. And it's interesting that that's, you know, what I was experiencing, and you are as well, and others, you know, just these sort of experiences where we don't need to even put words to them because they're inadequate. There aren't enough words of the English language, or maybe some other languages, there might be more words to even describe what we're experiencing. But I think, you know, for me, what I've noticed recently, and it's always like I'm being schooled, you know, I'm like, I think I know what I'm doing. I think I'm got down. And then it's like, nope, you really don't. Like, now you're going to get this lesson. And what I've learned is to surrender. Just, you know, I think I have this plan. I think I have this thing worked out, that, you know, what I'm doing, how I cope, how I'm going to manage whatever situation, or what I'm going to do in my business, or whatever it is. And then something happens and I'm like, wait, that's not what I was expecting. And so it's like what I've been trying to do is just notice, where is the flow? Where is the energy moving? And how can I align with that energy and, you know, tap into that current and not resist it? You know, when something keeps happening and over, it's like, well, there's a reason, and we can fight it, and it's going to get harder and harder until we just say, okay, I give up. Like, I mean, not give up, but I surrender. I'm going to ask, what is it that I'm meant to be learning from this, and make an adjustment. And, you know, I did make a few changes recently in my business, which were scary. I let go of working with somebody I'd been working with for a while, a coach, business coach. And it was scary, but I knew it was the right thing to do. And it really has like shifted a lot of things. It's very interesting after I did that, because she was wonderful, but it was where I needed to take the next step anyway. But to that's kind of, I guess, what I mean about flow, like where's energy moving, and how can we just ask our guides or angels or God or whatever you want to talk to help guide us into that flow and help us take the heart-centered action based in love that's for our highest good or for others or for any situation we're in, because those situations come up for a reason, because we're supposed to be learning from them. Every relationship that we have, as you know.
Yeah. It's like learning to surf the current of reality, kind of. Like, I thought it was so beautiful the way you put it, like looking for the current, where is the actual flow happening? So it's like, if you're feeling a grind in your life and it's not flowing very well, even if all your plans are built up around it, it's just an indication that that's not where the juice is. There's juice. It's over here. If you tap into the juice, it's going to be great, but we have to like relinquish our, just like you said, surrender. Yeah. Relinquish right. Our insistence that no, it's supposed to be this way. I made all these plans, you see.
Right.
The whole right. web of life is like, okay, right. Make plans.
Right. And it comes back to the ego too, right? That protective part of us that thinks it has plans, that thinks it has it figured out. And over again, I see that with, you know, it's like people say, you know, the ego death, which I think is impossible. I don't think we can get rid of our ego. It's part of who we are. It's our consciousness. It's there to try to keep us safe, but it does all kinds of weird, messed up things to us. You know, it creates stories. It tells us, you know, in that situation I was just talking about, that we're better than somebody, or that they're all complete idiots and we are the chosen ones, you know, or it tells us that we aren't good enough and no, we have nothing valuable to say and that nobody cares, you know, and if, you know, there's all kinds of things that the ego can say. And I think that's part of what you know, a lot of people are like, I just want to meditate and, you know, bring in light and just be floating on rainbows all day. And that's, you know, we think that's what moving into 5D is supposed to be like, but it's really like I saw a meme the other day, actually somebody shared, it's like, she had this picture of this guy, like, I think it was Chris Farley from an old movie, just rolling down a hill, like getting like the crap kicked out of him, like rolling down the hill over and over. And then he thinks he's at the bottom of the hill. No, he keeps rolling down the hill. It feels like you're getting beat up sometimes because it's all these patterns that we're trying to break, shedding all these, you know, stories, stuff from past life, stuff from childhood, parts of us that aren't who we are. And it gets easier for, you know, I think it gets easier the more we have tools to kind of say, okay, how can I separate from this? You know, meditation helps. And then doing thought reprogramming, you know, neurolinguistic programming, hypnotherapies, those sorts of things. There's other ways, you know, in the Akashic records, there's other ways to kind of get a different perspective of who you really are is your higher self. But it can take time. And that's your thing. We're impatient. We want things to happen like that.
It's the entitlement program, the entitlement, yes, and the instant gratification. I swear to God, it's programming. That's what it looks like to me. Because if you look at our ancestors, even just like, can we even call them ancestors? I'm talking like two generations back. Typically, they were very accustomed to the fact that life is a process and hard work is involved. And I know it's like very au courant to talk about how we don't have to do all this hard work. And I do think that's important, like that we do want to graduate out of the story that we have to slog through the shit every day, all the time. And we have to like work super hard to make our money. And like, there are damaging stories around that hard work narrative. And yet that doesn't mean that we should never be putting in effort. And I, when I look at even like commercials when we were a kid, you remember being a kid and you watch cartoons and there'd be all these commercials, these cool toys, and mm-hmm. that you're like, but I want it. And it mm-hmm. fills you up with I want. And then it positions your parents to have to be like, no, you can't have this for a whole bunch of reasons. Sometimes it's a good reason. Sometimes they're not good reasons. But regardless, we all heard no a whole bunch of times. And then we're like rebelling against our parents and feeling very frustrated and unfulfilled, like stunted at that level of relating to our desires. And then it's just amped up more and more. So every subsequent group of children, every generation of children is just receiving more and more of that messaging of like, there's this, there's that, this shiny thing, that shiny thing. You yes. should be able to get it right now. Your parents can go and order it on Amazon and it should be here in 2 days. Like, you know, it's crazy. To me, yep. it just looks like, honestly, a very, very successful psychological operation against a whole, like a section of generations of young people to play out through their adulthood. So they get stunted and they don't understand that effort is required for any transformation. It is effort that occurs through showing up consistently through space and time. That's how we achieve mm-hmm. transformation mm-hmm. in this realm.
Interesting. There's this metaphor that I always come back to, what you're talking about, like hitting a tennis ball. You know, when we're working with spirit, when we're working with, you know, or really it's our soul, there's a soul plan, you know, that we have in place that is kind of like a blueprint for what would be nice for us to work on in each life and the lessons that we set out to learn, but we don't always follow it because we have free will. But it's like a metaphor of like hitting a tennis ball. So we hit the ball in a tennis match over the net and then spirit hits it back to us. You know, we get guided something, we get given the next clue, like the scavenger hunt analogy, which I also love. But we can't just stand there and not hit the ball because it's that energy exchange. And that's, you're absolutely right that there is that programming happening. And I think that is also, you know, the back to what we were talking about before, that intervening consciousness, the duality, you know, that is trying to keep us stuck in the 3D or the world of separation and control and just misery, really. But that is the reality, unfortunately, for some people. And then for others, you know, like I've been noticing what's going on in the media, and there's there are these, you know, restrictions coming back. And I see that stuff and I'm like, that doesn't matter because that's not my reality. Like I live in a different reality and that's not I'm not going to let myself get into fear or anger because then I can be manipulated and controlled through my fear and anger. And it's almost like how to, and then there's, I was just talking about this with some friends the other day. How do we even take it another step and be like, and I love and forgive you for even your efforts to control me or whatever you're doing, which may be some sort of efforts to control or to keep in this, you know, this veil, this cloud over us, over our third eyes. I appreciate that that's what you feel you need to do, but you know, I'm above that and I love you for it. Anyway, that's like the ultimate tool is how we transcend all of this, which is a whole nother conversation that we can get into, but it all connects, you know.
It does all connect. I'm just like, man, we have so many things to talk about because every point leads to an even better point. And I feel like I'm just skimming over all of them with you.
I know. But, I know.
I want to ask you about the Akashic Records. There's so much, but I think that's it. So I agree. It's very hard. Again, it's one of those states of being that's super hard to articulate because when you start to put it into words, it sounds like you're being spiritual bypassy and you're all love and light. And you're like, I forgive you, or I condone, you know, bad things from happening because none of it's real ultimately or whatever, but that's not really it. It's like understanding that we've been ping ponging back and forth between extremes of duality for so long. And it's exhausting. And if we want to exit this ping ponging sort of like energy dynamic, or I know there's a guy who talks about trans surfing and I think it's called a pendulum, but I think it's the same thing where you just like, you get hooked onto something and you swing energetically in the direction you think you're going to go, but then somewhere else, now I'm extrapolating, but to me, then what happens is somewhere else in your life, you swing to the opposite because everything's always got to equalize itself, but you're still trapped in that swinging motion. So what we have to do is find a way to unify it within ourselves. And that means like not judging yourself and not judging others, but just calling the bluff of this whole thing, calling it for what it is, which to me, my favorite analogy is like, I just call it a holographic dream projection. It's a dream that we're holographically projecting outward into our perception of something external. Mm-hmm. But it's all generated from inside of ourselves, even though we all interweave with each other as well, but we only have control of what's inside of ourselves. And we have way more control than we think we do. Way, 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 way more. And so if we can understand that, then we don't have to be angry about the external manifestation anymore, even the manifestation of bad guys, because the key to unlocking all of it is within us. Today I was thinking that manifestation is like cracking the code or solving the puzzle of your own escape room. That's what it ultimately is like you figure mm-hmm. out internally what pieces need to go where, and you solve the Rubik's cube of yourself, and then that's your good. Reality shift.
That's good. I like that. That feels totally right. Yeah. You mentioned the Akashic Records earlier, and you know, as you know, that's where so much of this work can be done, is in the Akashic Records, whether somebody goes into it on their own, if they, you know, or they have somebody like guide them in. But there's so, I mean, that because it's the records of all of our past lives, our ancestors, and when we were on other planets and other dimensions as well. And we can really start to, like you said, crack, you know, get to the root of what really is ailing us that we're not even aware of, because we have that programming that the programming, you know, blocks it in a really deep way. And I think eventually people are going to all be able to access their own Akashic Records. I think easily just like go into that intention, bring in light, and then, oh, I'm going to do this thing and do this thing. And it's going to be amazing when that happens. I look forward to that day.
So. Me too. Totally. What do you think is the main thing or the main things that are blocking people from accessing the Akashic Records now?
Ooh, good question. Fear. That's the first one that came up as you asked that, is fear of, this is just coming to me, but fear of what they might see about themselves. That just popped into my mind. I did consciously think of that. And so I think what that means, and I've had this happen, actually, I had a client once who booked a reading and then canceled it. She's like, I'm not ready. Which I was like, what? Like, you don't want to know all this cool stuff? And she was just, I'm not ready. And I think, so I think that's part of it. There's fear of what we might uncover about ourselves. Will we be able to come back from it? If it's something that's traumatic from a past life or something that we uncover about our childhood, that's the perceived belief, right? We know that they're not going to be shown anything because it's a space of light. It's a space of pure love, that nothing's going to come up that they're not ready to see or experience. And I think there's other fears that can go along with that too, of like, well, if I start accessing my Akashic records, and then am I going to then start awakening? And is it safe for me to awaken? Am I going to start opening my intuitive gifts? And is that safe based on past life persecution? So I think that is a piece of it. The other piece is, not everybody, and I think from another perspective, not everybody is ready necessarily, because it does take some, you know, I wasn't ready. If somebody told me you're going to start learning the Akashic records 20 years ago, I mean, it wouldn't have even come into my worldview, because I would not, it wouldn't have, maybe I saw the word somewhere, but I wouldn't have been interested in it at all, because I wasn't ready. Because I do think it takes a certain, how do I say this without sounding like, you know, it's, you got to be special to be in the Akashic records. It's not that, but I do think it that when we begin meditating and when we begin, you know, bringing in light, which really it is, that's the way to access it, is the vibrationally connecting with this dimension. It does, stuff does come up, you know, it does happen. And so we need to be, you know, hopefully in the place in our lives where we have some tools to cope with some of the things that we might see. I actually, to give you an example, I did a workshop years ago, but not years ago, it was like 5 or 6 years ago, and at this retreat center, and the people that were hosting it, lovely people, they knew I was going to be doing an Akashic records portion. And they said, oh, we're going to come listen to that. And I was just thinking, really, you know, and as soon as it started, they were both sitting in there, then the phone rang and the wife left and she never didn't come back for the rest of it. And then we started talking, and then the husband left because she had, like, he needed to go help her with whatever it was. And I knew that was going to happen, because I knew that they weren't quite ready yet. They had it, you know, they just, for whatever reason, that wasn't in their soul contract. Let me put it that way. They weren't at that sort of place where their souls wanted that for them, if that makes sense. So I think, So I think, you know, I think people are going, because there is this energy on the planet that is activating so many, everybody, we're all receiving these activation energies that, you know, but some people are older souls, some people are younger souls. There's, like, you know, as much as this sounds weird to say, there are, I believe, different levels, you know, like you're in high school or you're in, you know, maybe elementary school, and it doesn't mean you're better than or worse, but you're in different places. But it's happening, these poor people in the past few years who had this, I've seen people, as you probably have, who had such rapid awakenings, like shocking awakenings that are really intense and hard, but that's was part of their soul contract. So I think more and more people, because we need people to awaken quicker to help bring Earth into these higher, you know, vibrational states to anchor that light, we need more people to be able to do that, because it is a holding of light, I think, as well. So, but yeah, all the programming, all that stuff, we've got to clear all that stuff as we start to be able to more easily access it.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with everything you said. And I find the same thing, that it's a vibration that you learn how to attain. So it's really like learning how to fine tune the dial of your own frequency. And so that's why, like, it's not a technique. Like, there are a million techniques you can use, but if the technique doesn't yield the result of your own vibration, attaining the vibration that matches the resonance of the dimension of the Akashic records, which I think it's the 11th dimension, but I don't, whatever. It's, you know, like, we all have our own constructs of how all that stuff works, but it's a different dimension anyway. So there's a different frequency to it. If you can't titrate your own frequency to it, then the technique you learn won't work, because it's not the technique. It's not the words. It's not the chant. It's not the guided meditation. It's not, like, whatever thing, you know, it's the change in your field that the technique produces. That's what allows us to connect with the Akashic Records. And if we have a lot of guards up, then that can, yeah, it just hinders our process. I agree with you completely. There's some people, like, I think about my dad, and like, he doesn't even want to talk to me about my business, and not in a rude way. Like, he just doesn't ever ask. And my dad loves me. He's so nice. I love my dad, but it's just not, he's not interested. He would be the same, like the phone would ring and he'd be like, sweet, this is not for me. Bye. You know, perfect excuse. And that also doesn't mean my dad is less evolved than me. It's just, we have different intentions as souls in this given time. And that's what it is. But it's not, it also doesn't mean that my dad is incapable of reading the Akashic Records. It's just like, I wanted to, that motivation, like, you know, mm-hmm. the desire to read it is what propelled me to keep going with the process of fine tuning my own vibration. If I didn't desire to read it, then I would just give up, because I'd be like, I don't really care. Because again, it's work to develop any skill. There's effort that's required.
Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah, go ahead.
I just wanted to know, like, what is your favorite use for the Akashic Records right now? Like, how do you love to use it in your sessions?
In my sessions.
Yeah, or for yourself, people, whatever.
I feel like it often depends on the person, you know, it depends on what they're asking about. It depends on their intention and their questions. I do find, though, that recently, and this is what we were talking about, there's some ancestral pattern breaking that's happening with ancestors coming in, including, you know, a father or grandfather who abused that person, who's asking for forgiveness, or a grandmother who's saying, you know, you're the one to break this pattern in our bloodline by making different choices, or saying, you know, I've seen this a few times recently, often as a grandparent for some reason, that will let that person know that they're unconditionally loved, and just remind them, I love you. I see you for this beautiful, perfect being that you are, and you are unconditionally loved. And you know, the message there is, love yourself as I love you. And that will help you heal, I guess, whatever that word really means. So that's one way. I think then, you know, connecting with the masters, I call them the masters, you know, the council of elders, these wise light beings that are the ones that are really there to help the person uncover hidden information about themselves. The way I work with them, at least, I'm sure everybody does it differently. They will show the things that people, that will come up for that person about their life. You know, well, why was my mother like this to me? Well, because she never loved herself. She never received love. And hearing something like that, you would think it would be obvious, like what the person might know, but they don't. They maybe never thought of it that way. And so then they develop this ability to have compassion for their mother instead of resentment and anger. And then that starts to break the pattern, you know, the ancestral mm-hmm. pattern of whatever it is, that the stuckness, the you know, resentment, anger, stuff like that. And that, those little sort of, I don't know, aha moments, or just, you know, really powerful moments of truth that person hears, can be just absolutely amazing to witness. You know, they just start, just tears start flowing, and they just, it shifts something, you know, just as I'm sure you've seen, you know, just kind of something just shifts with them, within them. And they say, I never thought of that. I never saw it that way before. And now that I do, I feel this emotion as I'm saying this. It's really interesting. You know, now that I do, I feel like the weight's been lifted. I feel like, you know, something's changed within me. And that's like such the gift that I see of the Akashic Records being for people. It's just a way for them to see things in a different perspective, and getting out of that like programmed mindset of just the way that, you know, this is how we view things, and this is how you were taught to view things in your family, and to come at it from that bird's eye view starts to shift them. So the other thing I'll just say too is past lives. Like, there's always past lives that come in, and I always hope, you know, usually they start to like come in a little bit, you know, like I'll see an image of somebody on a horse, or, you know, there's a flames and there's a house burning or something. I'm just thinking of a few things that have come up, and I know it's not connected to anything in their life. So I know it's a past life. Sometimes it'll just come up like that, but often it is the person says, okay, show me a past life. And that also is a really powerful way for them to shift and break patterns, because then they see this is a source of this sort of feeling that you have. For instance, the one I just said, the burning house, this was an actual reading I did for somebody. She always had this fear of like this super like overly protective instinct towards her children. And like it was causing problems because she was just afraid to let them do anything. And the past life that came up was that her children were in the burning house and she was trying to save them. And I can't remember if she'd saved all of them, but it would make sense like that's where that fierce protective desire and fear came from, was from this really intense trauma. And then when people hear things like that, then they can say, oh, it's not that just there's something wrong with me and I'm just this like, I'm crazy or whatever, but that this, I'm actually carrying this or habit or association or whatever it is, vibration from that life. And now that I've experienced it, now I can let it go, or now I can release it in some ways. And so those are probably, it's all of those things that and more, depending on the person's vibration, sometimes other multidimensional beings will come in, and like, if they ask about what planet they're from, that's always cool. I love when they ask those questions because it's so, I learn something myself as I, you know, receive it. So yeah, it's just amazing to watch when they're in that space of light, what can shift within them just by hearing a different side that they hadn't seen.
Yeah. I feel like the gift of the Akashic Records is that it dispels the illusion. So it's just suddenly you're liberated from the density of the illusion that you are wrapped up within. You can suddenly see like, oh, it's actually like this. And then we can create such different things if we're not bogged down by that illusion anymore.
Yes. Yes. That's so true. Yeah.
There's so much illusion.
And there's so much illusion of who we are and what we're capable of. And, you know, oh, I'm not able to do this, or I'm, and then it's like, well, you've done this before. You know, you've been an herbalist in past lives. You've been a healer in past lives. You've been a psychic in past lives. And that's also cool too, because then, you know, they start to see, oh, maybe I can do this work. And that also, that's something that I notice is happening more and more. People are just so sick and miserable in their, you know, jobs that are 40 hours in a cubicle or whatever it is, just part of that, you know, system. And they just don't want to, they know I was one of those people, you know, and they know it's not who they really are. And so this gives them hope, like, well, actually there is something my soul has, or my higher self has in store with me. There are gifts I have to share, and that can help give them the confidence, or just, you know, the knowing that this is in their vibration, it's in their blueprint, it's in their blood to be able to do this. And we need that, right? We need as many people as possible to help humans, because a lot of people that are needing help more than ever now. So
mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah. Rachel, this was such a beautiful conversation. I like, obviously we're gonna have to have more conversations because we hardly even touched on all the Lemuria stuff, and I feel like that could be its whole podcast episode on its own. Initially we said that's what we were going to talk about, and then it just went off on all its beautiful directions. But
yeah,
you always have to have a first conversation before you can have the subsequent ones.
Yeah, it's all, it is what it's meant to be. And yeah, it was, I know we could talk for hours, but I'd love to look forward to more conversations then.
Yeah, absolutely. Me too. And is there anything that you'd like to share with my audience? Anything that you are working on or enrolling, or just anything about what you do?
Let's see. One thing coming up, I'm teaching an angel class, teaching people how to connect with angels. The angels are at my root. And I love to tell people, you know, if you're curious about the Akashic Records, if you're curious about just opening your third eye, working with angels, specifically Archangel Michael, it's how I did it. I just, Archangel Michael, can you help me do this? And I learned that in an angel class I took. And it's such a powerful way to shift energy and just connect with this pure vibration of light and, you know, pure love, when for me, at least, I was scared of what I didn't want to open up to dark things, because I was told that doing that could lead to dark, doing intuitive work could lead to dark things. And of course, I didn't want to do that. So I wanted to focus on something pure light. So that's coming up. And even if, you know, even if you take the class or not, check out angels. We didn't end up talking about angels, but I, you know, whatever, people have different conceptions of angels, and there's different views out there of what they are, but really it's an energy. It's an energy that you're tapping into of love, and that can really shift things for you. The other thing I'm going to be doing soon is teaching a group hypnotherapy class online and also in person here, where, you know, clearing away old patterns in the subconscious mind is a really powerful way. One of the only ways to get rid of like limiting beliefs and thoughts and stuff like that, or that are not who we are. And so that's coming up too. Yeah. So I guess the message is just don't give up, keep going. There's hope, surrender, bring in light, go outside, hug a tree. Just know that you're loved, you're supported, you have a team with you. There's a reason that things are happening in your life, because it's all about the learning. And when we ask for help, it will come in, maybe not in the ways we expect, but just ask and receive. So,
yeah, that's perfect. That's such a perfect, beautiful note to leave everybody on. Thank you so much, Rachel, for coming and just sharing your time and some of your story and your wisdom and your reflections from the work that you do and the journey that you've been on. I've loved talking to you. I'm really excited to talk to you again.
Thank you, Amy. It's been so much fun.
And thank you, beautiful listeners. Have a beautiful day or night wherever you are, and I'll catch you on the next episode.
Well, that's a wrap. I truly hope that you enjoyed the episode and that you got some good activations, insights, and inspiration from what was shared today. I want to give a shout out to May, who edits all of these podcast episodes. And I want to thank you, beautiful listener, for the valuable currency of your time and attention. You are a powerful creator, and may everything in this podcast serve you in your highest fucking creations. Your listenership means the world to me, truly. I cannot possibly express my appreciation enough for you and your being here with me on this journey. If you enjoyed the episode, please take a moment to rate, review, subscribe, and share. And have a beautiful day or night wherever you are. I will catch you on the next episode.